This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 55.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Welcome back to another Flip Empire Show. So I want to touch on some things before I get into today's Q&A episode. And so first off, really appreciate you you tuning in. This is my favorite time of the year. You know, we just got done with Thanksgiving a few weeks ago. Had the opportunity to disconnect a bit and spend some time with the family and just, you know, surround yourself with your loved ones. And it never ceases to amaze me how when you get outside of the grind, quote unquote, right? When you're working in the business, when you're working on the business, it rejuvenates me, at least. I can only speak for myself, but it rejuvenates me when I surround myself with family, when I completely disconnect, and I find myself that I come back to the business more energized, new thoughts, new ideas. I'm flowing more. My energy's at a different level. If you're in a position where you just constantly feel like, you know, you're pounding the pavement and you're hustling and you're grinding, because that's what a lot of people preach and talk about, take a moment to just kind of sit back and figure out what energizes you. You know, is it your family? Do you have kids? Is it your friends? Is it a hobby that you enjoy doing? I think it's really important, I think the hustle and the grind is important, and you definitely gotta, you gotta do that to succeed. There's no question about it, but it's also about balance too. It's about understanding that, you know, your life, you need to have a particular vision for your life. Figure out what that is, and then make sure that the business that you're building and the business that you're spending so much time in supports that lifestyle and that vision. So I just wanted to share that with you. Again, I think one of the things I'd like to do moving forward is not just only cover the content, right, and strategy and the X's and O's, so to speak, of wholesaling and building and automating a real estate business, but also just kind of share, you know, random thoughts, things that I think are meaningful to me and that I think can really help you. And along those same lines is one of the things, you know, that lately I've been doing, I've kind of been obsessed with is, and this is something that goes back years, but I kind of go through stages of where, you know, I'm constantly reading. And so whether it's marketing, personal development, business, real estate, you know, biographies, whatever it might be, sometimes I go through stages. And by the way, you might hear my daughter in the background, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and all this good stuff. So if you do, just, I guess, kind of disregard it and keep your focus on me here. But, you know, so I was saying I go through different stages of different topics and areas that I want to really master and that I want to kind of immerse myself in. And so right now, I'm really focused on the habits of the wealthy, right? Not just wealthy financially, but spiritually, mentally, physically. And so I'm reading several books around that topic. And it's incredible to me that so much of the stuff that I'm reading, I already know, you know, or I shouldn't say I already know, but I've heard it before, or it's something that I've already internalized. But, you know, what I realize is that you could be at a different point or stage in your life where you might hear something and it resonates with you different because it's just the timing, right? Or whatever's going on in your life or your experiences, your growth. And so I want to encourage you that whatever it is that you want to master, and for me, personal development, it's kind of like showering. It's kind of like going to the gym. It's something that, you know, you need to really just dive into and make a habit and a daily part of your life. So whatever that might be, you know, if it's building, scaling, growing, automating a business, you know, immerse yourself into that. Read as much as you can, listen to as many podcasts as you can, but be careful. So I share that advice, but at the same time, don't allow that to be a crutch for not getting up off your ass and doing something, because I think it's something that a lot of people do, and it's kind of an excuse for them to not go out and take that, not only that action, but the right action, the right type of action. So many people talk about, you know, you got to take action, but it's not just acting. It's acting on the right implementing, knowing when you have to implement something in your business and focusing on one specific thing and then acting and taking the right action, if that makes sense. So anyway, hopefully that's just kind of some thoughts I had this morning as I record this, and I wanted to share it with you. But anyway, if you just a few housekeeping things, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to a few of the episodes that were recently released. I got an incredible amount of feedback on episode 50, which was, I kind of invited you to be in the fly in the wall and listen to a one-on-one coaching call I had with Jason, a client that I'm working with that's looking to build his business. And so if you want to check that out, go to flipempire.com/episode50. And with all of the previous episodes, you can just go to flipempire.com/episode and then the number, and that'll redirect you to the show notes page, all the resources, everything that's mentioned there is available there. So definitely check that out. And if you're looking to take your business to the next level and you think I might be able to help, this is not for everybody, but go to flipempire.com/coaching, or just click on the coaching link at the top and read more about, you know, what I have there for you, what I believe it could do for you. And if you think it could be a good fit at the bottom, go ahead and schedule a strategy call where we can jump on. I can learn more about you, your business, your goals, and I can give you some more information from there. So that's the first thing. Definitely check out that kind of behind the scenes one-on-one coaching call with Jason. I think you'll get a lot out of it. And then the next episode, 51, is how does a lead get processed, right? So this is actually what I'm about to talk about now is the third part of a series where in episode 51, I covered how does a lead get processed. And then in episode 53, I'm covering, okay, well, now that the lead gets processed, how does it get transitioned over to the acquisitions manager? That was just released last week. And what I want to talk about now is, okay, great. So if you or you have an acquisitions manager that goes out, they meet with the seller, they build rapport, they get the property under contract, success. Now, what happens, this is what happens internally in my team. And we're constantly striving to, you know, improve our systems and make sure that we have all the checks and balances in place. So how does our acquisitions manager then transfer that deal over to our sales manager or the dispositions manager? Or if it's just you, you know, think about if you're a one-man show, or maybe it's just you and a virtual assistant, you have to adopt the mindset that you're wearing different hats in your business. And then eventually you want to replace yourself, you know, and Michael Gerber talks a lot about that in the E-Myth. So when you go meet with the seller, you're wearing the acquisitions hat. But once you get that property under contract and then it's time to market that contract, you're the sales manager. So now you've taken off the acquisitions hat and you've put it on the dispositions manager or the sales manager hat. So think about yourself and your business in that way. And so think about it in departments, right? So right now, what I want to talk about is now, how does it go from the acquisitions department over to the sales department? So what we do is we have in our CRM a checklist. So every manager has a particular checklist of things that he or she has to do in order to make sure that all our I's get dotted, our T's get crossed, and this is part of our system. And so our acquisitions manager goes into our CRM, and first thing he'll do is he will introduce the seller to our sales manager, okay? Because we wanna do a warm handoff, and that's not to say that the acquisitions manager is never gonna communicate again with the seller. One of the things I always talk about is, you know, keep all the parties in the transaction up to date, and follow up with them on a weekly basis. Some sellers require more handholding, and you got to be in contact with them every other day. And so just understand the personality type of your seller. But so we'll have our acquisitions manager call and email and introduce them over to the sales manager, because keep in mind, the sales manager might need to coordinate with the seller when it comes to showing the property or just anything that comes up. Okay. So that's the first thing. Next thing he'll do is, at this point, say our acquisitions manager has already taken pictures, he's already taken a video walkthrough, he'll upload that to Dropbox or Google Drive, add it to the deals whiteboard in our CRM, and then share that with the team, including the sales manager. Next thing they'll do is our acquisitions manager will get on the phone with the sales manager and share all the details about the property, about the seller situation, and just kind of fill in the missing gaps. So not only will the sales manager run his own comps so that he can figure out what he wants to price this at when we market it to our buyers, but they'll also have a conversation. And the acquisitions manager not only documents all of this inside of our deals whiteboard in our CRM, but we'll also share this. And they'll just have a quick 5-10 minute conversation about the deal, about the condition of the property. Because remember, at this point, our sales manager hasn't been to that property yet. And that's one of the things that the sales manager will do, is go out to the property, get his eyeballs on it, meet the seller if necessary. And it just puts your sales manager, or you know, whoever that might be, in a better position to talk about the property, answer any questions that buyers might have. And so that's what they'll do. Once the sales manager decides on a wholesale price, and a lot of this is automated within our CRM, you know, he'll update the status, and our virtual assistant in the Philippines will get notified to start working on the wholesale template inside of our email service provider, which is AWeber. That's what we're using. If you want to check that out, I have an affiliate link for it. It's philipempire.com/AWeber. It's the one I've been using for years, but there's a lot of good ones. MailChimp, GetResponse, you know, Constant Contact is an older one. So any email service provider you use to market your properties, our virtual assistant has access to it. She'll go in there, she'll prepare the wholesale template. She'll add the draft to our website, which is propertywholesales.com. And, you know, once our sales manager reviews all of that, our marketing goes out, you know, so now our virtual assistant will not only prepare the template, add it to website, but we'll also syndicate the property inside of our FreedomSoft account. Email blast goes out. Our sales manager will then create a Sly broadcast talking about the property. And then a couple days later, if the property hasn't already sold, we'll also do a text blast using our CallFire account. And one of the things that we've really shifted in the course of the last year and a half is that we used to get a property under contract. If it was vacant, we'd slap a lockbox on it. And then when buyers call, we'd give them the lockbox. And I wish I could rewind the clock, because we left so much money on the table. What we do nowadays is we always will market, you know, leading up to an open house, which will show for 1 to 2 days. So a couple days before we do the open house, we will market that out. And what we find is we have all of our buyers go see the property at the same time. And it kind of creates a bit of a feeding frenzy. You know, it creates a sense of urgency. It creates a sense of scarcity. People want that deal. And sometimes we're even able to, you know, we get offers for higher than what we're asking. And that would never, you know, we wouldn't be able to accomplish that if we just give the lockbox to people and send them out there. So that's a bit about, you know, what our sales manager does. One of the things, if you are going to put the property in lockbox, you know, ask the seller if you can make a copy of the key and then put a backup lockbox on the property, or just keep the key, because, you know, sometimes buyers develop amnesia. They forget where they put the key, or they just flat out take it and they steal it. At least here in South Florida, that's happened. So, you know, we've kind of taken our lumps when it comes to that, and we figured out ways to get around that. Different ways you can market the property. Of course, you can market it online, or market the contract, I should say, but you can put out bandit signs in the neighborhood. You can, one of the things our sales manager will do is contact all the listing and selling agents that have been involved in a cash transaction in the same zip code. And what we found is that a lot of these agents will bring buyers that will pay the most for your wholesale deals. So definitely make sure that you're networking with real estate agents that work with cash buyers and get them on your list. And then most of the time we get our property sold in 24, 48 hours. If it hasn't sold within 3 days, you know, one of the things that we'll do is we will then reach out to our network of wholesalers, and we'll see if they can, you know, market the property to their list and work out an agreement with them. And if at this point, you know, 5-7 days have gone by and you haven't sold it, it's either time to potentially renegotiate the price with the seller and or do a price reduction, and really figure out at that point, our sales manager and our acquisitions manager will get on the phone and they'll figure out, okay, what's the feedback of the buyers that we're getting? What's the challenge here? Is it, you know, the construction type? I know here in South Florida, most of our buyers want a concrete block or CBS and not wood frame. And so that could be a challenge. It could be the neighborhood. It could be the price. One of the things I want to encourage you to do is if you're the one working with your buyers or if you have a sales manager, always ask for feedback on the property and the price. You know, when you talk to the buyer, ask them, you know, I know this one doesn't work for you, but give me an idea of, you know, just so I know for future reference, what price would work for you? Or what is it about the deal that you don't like? And encourage that feedback, because now that's information that not only can you use for future deals in that area, but you can also potentially go back to the seller and now you know where you need to be. Okay. So I think the biggest thing with this is if you're not working within our CRM, make sure that you document kind of steps A to Z. What are the different things that the acquisitions manager does? And then what are the different things that the sales manager does? And then figure out a way to create a system around it and start to automate it so that when you hire these people, or maybe even if you already have them, make sure that they're following the checklist and they're doing every single thing that needs to be done to properly run the system and ensure that the property gets sold. So what I'm going to do on the last part here, part four, is I'm going to talk about now what happens. Sales manager has gone through this entire checklist. They found the buyer. They get the property under contract. How does this get transitioned over to our transaction coordinator, who then works with the title company and all the parties involved to ensure that the deal gets closed? So that's what I'm going to talk about on, what is it, episode 57, I believe. So this is episode 55. So take a listen to next week's, where I'm going to talk about how does our sales manager transition this over to our transaction coordinator. All right. So hopefully you've enjoyed this content and I'll catch you on the next episode. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text Empire to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.